You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
And now a word from our sponsor, SpyCloud, the leader in operationalizing cybercrime analytics. Traditional threat intelligence is a thing of the past. Cyber criminals are stealing vast amounts of credentials, session cookies, and financial data every day, and it's hard to keep up. SpyCloud is the trusted partner businesses turn to fully understand their darknet exposure risk and neutralize threats before it's too late. SpyCloud alerts your organization as soon as an employee or customer's data appears on the darknet, so you can act faster than bad actors to prevent cyber attacks like ransomware, session hijacking, account takeover, and online fraud. With insights from the industry's largest repository of recaptured data, protect the digital identities and systems most important to your business. Get your free corporate darknet exposure report at spycloud.com/cyberwire and see what information criminals have in their hands today. That's spycloud.com/cyberwire. Section 702 gets another 2 years. MITRE suffers a breach through an Avanti VPN. Crush FTP urges customers to patch an actively exploited flaw. Safe Breach researchers disclose vulnerabilities in Windows Defender that allow remote file deletion. Ukrainian soldiers see increased attention from data-stealing apps. GitHub's comments are being exploited to distribute malware. VW confirms legacy Chinese espionage and data breaches. CISA crowns winners of the President's Cup cybersecurity competition. Our guests, Cecilia Marinier, Director of Innovation and Programs at RSA Conference, and Nilu Razi Hal, Senior Operating Partner at Energy Impact Partners, review the top Innovation Sandbox Contest finalists in anticipation of RSAC 2024. And targeting kids online puts perpetrators in the malware crosshairs. It's Monday, April 22nd, 2024. I'm Dave Bittner, and this is your CyberWire Intel Briefing. Thanks for joining us. It is great to have you here with us. Over the weekend, President Biden signed a bill reauthorizing Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act for 2 more years, amid heated debates over the controversial surveillance program. The Senate passed the bill with bipartisan support in a 60-34 vote right before the statute was set to expire. Supporters of Section 702 claim it's been essential for U.S. intelligence since its 2008 inception, aiding in the disruption of terror activities, cyber threats, and foreign espionage by allowing the warrantless collection of foreign communications, albeit sometimes including those of Americans. The reauthorization journey was tumultuous, marked by disagreements between privacy advocates and national security proponents. Despite the looming deadline and potential non-cooperation from major U.S. communication providers, the bill was passed, incorporating reforms to safeguard American privacy and civil liberties, as emphasized by Attorney General Merrick Garland. However, the push for more stringent changes, including a warrant requirement for the FBI to access Americans' communications, faced resistance. Critics argued for amendments to address civil liberty concerns, but these proposals failed to gain sufficient support. The debate highlighted a balancing act between upholding civil liberties and addressing national security needs, with officials warning that warrant requirements could impede rapid response to security threats. MITRE Corporation suffered a breach through 2 zero-day vulnerabilities in Avanti's ConnectSecure VPN devices, leading to the compromise of its VMware network infrastructure. The not-for-profit organization confirmed the breach as orchestrated by a foreign nation-state actor detected through suspicious activity on its research network, NERVE. Despite adhering to best practices and government advice for securing Avanti systems, MITRE failed to notice the attacker's lateral movement into their VMware environment. The attackers conducted reconnaissance, exploited VPNs via Avanti Zero Days, moved laterally, hijacked sessions, utilized compromised accounts, and exfiltrated data. Although the core enterprise network appears unaffected, the breach's full scope remains under investigation. MITRE responded by taking down the compromised environment, initiating an inquiry, and issuing advice for defenders, including traffic monitoring, user behavior analysis, network segmentation, and enhanced security measures. The exploit has been previously linked to a Chinese attack group by security firms. Crush FTP has issued an urgent advisory for customers to patch a vulnerability in versions before 11.1 of its software after discovering an actively exploited flaw that permits attackers to download system files by escaping the virtual file system. CrowdStrike observed this vulnerability being exploited for intelligence gathering, suggesting political motives behind the attacks on U.S. entities. They advise Crush FTP customers to monitor updates from the vendor closely and prioritize patching. This incident underscores the broader trend of file transfer software vulnerabilities being targeted for widespread compromise, as evidenced by past attacks on MoveIt and Fortra GoAnywhere MFT software. At the Black Hat Asia Conference, Safe Breach cybersecurity researchers Tomer Barr and Shmuel Cohen discovered vulnerabilities in Windows Defender that allowed remote file deletion on Windows and Linux servers, risking data loss and system instability. By inducing false positives in security systems, they demonstrated the potential to bypass security controls and delete crucial files without authentication. The researchers developed a Python tool to discover unique byte signatures in endpoint detection and response systems, exploiting these for remote deletions of significant files, including Windows event logs and Microsoft's own detection logs. Despite Microsoft's attempt to fix the vulnerability, Safe Breach found the patch partially effective, leaving some attack vectors open and discovering another vulnerability as a bypass. Microsoft acknowledged the findings, implementing measures to minimize false positives and allowing configurations to quarantine remediation actions by default. Ukraine's Computer Emergency Response Team, CERT-UA, reports a rise in attempts to implant data-stealing malware on messaging apps used by Ukrainian armed forces. This activity, mainly attributed to the hacker group UAC-0184, aims at espionage and has been observed since February. CERT-UA warns soldiers of the heightened risks of online activity, such as sharing photos and military uniform, which could aid attackers in identifying targets for cyber and physical attacks. The group uses a mix of custom and open-source malware, including Hijack Loader and Remcos, a legitimate remote access tool misused for malicious purposes, to infiltrate systems. Other malware types identified include Viotto Keylogger, Xworm, Tusk, and SigTop, the latter specifically targeting Signal app data. Despite previous considerations for a secure military app, many Ukrainian soldiers continue using common messaging platforms like Telegram and Signal. Google's Mandiant and CERT-UA have noted similar espionage campaigns by Russia-backed hackers, including Sandworm and Turla groups, targeting military communications. Bleeping Computer highlights a vulnerability or potentially a design oversight in GitHub that's being exploited by cybercriminals to distribute malware through URLs that seem to originate from legitimate Microsoft repositories, thereby enhancing the perceived trustworthiness of the malicious files. This issue leverages GitHub's feature allowing users to attach files to comments, which are then hosted on GitHub's CDN, associating them with the project's URL. Notably, the malware has been camouflaged as legitimate software updates or new drivers, exploiting repositories of reputable companies. Despite the possibility of abuse across any GitHub repository, there seems to be no direct method for repository owners to manage or remove files attached to their projects, aside from disabling comments, which could hinder project development. Although GitHub removed the malware linked to Microsoft's repositories following the discovery, similar malicious content in other repositories remains accessible, indicating an ongoing threat. German media outlets, citing new access to internal company documents, are reporting that between 2010 and 2015, Volkswagen experienced a significant cyber attack by suspected Chinese state hackers, with around 19,000 confidential files stolen. The data theft extended across VW, Audi, and Bentley, focusing on proprietary information related to drive technologies, including petrol engines, gearboxes, dual clutches, electromobility, and fuel cells. The cyber attack also targeted transmission control software and technical manuals. VW confirmed the breach, noting it occurred a decade ago, and since then, IT security has been significantly enhanced. The attack began with espionage activities in 2010, leading to successful data breaches between 2011 and 2014. Cybersecurity experts link the attack to China, citing IP addresses near Chinese military intelligence and the use of espionage software like PlugX and China Chopper. The Chinese embassy denied these accusations. VW detected the hackers in 2014 due to an error and countered in 2015 by shutting down its network and clearing over 90 servers. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency recently concluded the fifth annual President's Cup Cybersecurity Competition, crowning Team Artificially Intelligent as this year's winners. The team, comprising members from the Department of Defense, U.S. Army, and U.S. Air Force, includes veterans from past winning teams. Individual accolades went to U.S. Army Major Nolan Miles in Track A and U.S. Marine Corps Staff Sergeant Michael Torres in Track B, with Torres also securing second place in Track A and becoming the first to repeat a win in the competition's history. The President's Cup aims to showcase and celebrate the U.S. government and military's cybersecurity talent, featuring challenges in cyber defense, exploitation, and more, based on the NICE Cybersecurity Workforce Framework. This year's competition began in January and saw over 1,400 individual participants and 312 teams. Winners will be honored at a White House awards ceremony, highlighting the event's significance in recognizing federal cybersecurity expertise. Coming up after the break, a preview of this year's Innovation Sandbox in anticipation of RSAC 2024. Stay with us.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire. Cecilia Marinier is Director of Innovation and Programs at RSA Conference, and Nilu Razi Hao is Senior Operating Partner at Energy Impact Partners and a judge of this year's Innovation Sandbox at RSAC 2024. Here's my conversation with them in anticipation of this year's competition. So I must admit that talking about the Innovation Sandbox is one of my favorite things that we get to do every year. In fact, it is one of my favorite parts of RSA Conference every year, because I feel as though it's kind of a little window into the future as to what we're heading for here with these hopefuls who are looking to take their place and make their mark on the industry. Cecilia, let me start with you, just in terms of some of the trends that you've been tracking here when it comes to the folks who've been submitting to be part of the Innovation Sandbox.
So I actually am going to push that question over to Nilu and just give you a great idea about how powerful Innovation Sandbox contest has been, because this contest has had, for the past 19 years, had top 10 finalists, and there have been 80 acquisitions, over $13.5 billion in investments. I mean, when we say that it is the leading contest in the industry, it really does help elevate and amplify these really important entrepreneurs. So we're really excited to have somebody, our judging panel, who gets to select amazing companies every year into our top 10. But I'm going to let the judge who actually made those decisions actually talk a little bit more about the trends.
Fair enough. Nilu, what have you been seeing here?
First of all, let me start by underscoring what you said. For me as well, this is my most favorite thing I do each year, both in terms of reviewing the companies, the incredible submissions, the entrepreneurs and all the work they put against it, but also the event itself. The energy in the room is incredible. So it's a really exciting time. There were two big trends, I would say, that I noticed this year. The first one is around funding. And what was really interesting to see is that great startup companies continue to receive large rounds of funding, both with respect to seed rounds and A rounds. And given what's been going on in the economy, everyone assumed that there was going to be a retrenchment from an investment perspective. And based on the submissions we saw this year and the number of companies that have successfully raised, I would say the great companies continue to get investments to build and grow and scale. From a tech perspective, what was interesting about this year is that it wasn't about new threat vectors necessarily, but it was about the next generation of security technologies that are solving really important problems in a scalable, agile, and effective way. So a lot of it, of course, is focused on the cloud, and whether it's data, identity, incident response, a lot of it had to do with application of artificial intelligence to solve and scale these security solutions. So that was the big trend. We do continue to see companies focusing on the adversarial side use of AI. So companies in the misinformation, disinformation space, as well as deep fakes. But there weren't as many as I thought there were going to be. So it's really about next generation security technology, next generation applications.
Cecilia, what have you all been seeing in terms of the number of applications here and the general interest in this program?
It has been very, very consistent and consistently in a great way. Like, we keep on getting a lot of companies, which gives me a lot of excitement about where our industry is going in general, because it demonstrates that there is still a lot of innovation happening, and these innovators are out there wanting to get in front of the different audiences to show how they showcase how they're actually solving the problems. So numbers are great. I never give out the real number, Dave, but I like give out like, oh my gosh, like, and poor Nilu knows because she is part of the crew that had to actually sift through all those companies that submitted. But we did consistently. We are on same as last year, and last year was a blowout year. So.
And one thing I would add to that is I always think we've reached the apex in terms of quality of submissions, and every year it gets harder. I mean, the number of quality companies that submitted was fantastic. It was huge, and it makes our job a little bit harder.
Nilu, I'm curious. You mentioned earlier that the great companies are still getting the funding. What are the boxes that those companies have to check for the investors to consider them to be a great company?
Generally speaking, solving an important problem with an innovative approach and a team that has the background and experience to do it. And the team is actually, it's a qualitative assessment, but it's a key part of making a decision about whether to fund a company or not, because we're solving an existential problem in cyber, and the entrepreneurs really need to understand what they're doing. And one of the things we're seeing is that this is an ecosystem that works with each other really well. And something I've seen in cyber that I haven't seen in any other industry is the number of repeat entrepreneurs we have who start successful company after successful company after successful company, and then become investors and then become advisors and board members. I haven't seen that anywhere else. That's pretty amazing. And they really do help filter through identifying the great companies.
So, Nilu, can you give us a little bit of a preview of where we stand and what people can expect when it comes to this year's Innovation Sandbox? I mean, what are some of the things that led us to where we find ourselves today?
Well, to reiterate some of what Cecilia has said, what you should expect to see on stage is incredible entrepreneurs, many of whom have been there, done that, solving a wide set of really important problems related to cloud security, data security, the application of AI, the protection of AI. And it's a diverse set of companies, both from a geographic perspective, from a market segment perspective. And it's, you know, one of the things we do as judges, every company submits a video and we watch every single video. Sometimes we watch them multiple times. And what we're really looking for is entrepreneurs who can, in a very concise way, describe the problem, describe the solution, describe why they're going to win. I think folks are going to be blown away by this year's crew of entrepreneurs.
So let me add two little tidbits on top of that. One is that the goal is that they are prepared. They will be prepared. I have seen the videos as well as Nilu. This is a really strong crop of entrepreneurs. And so I am very confident that the show will be great. But in addition, you know, as a judge, they're going to be choosing that one product that's going to make a huge impact on cybersecurity in the next 12 months. And that's the goal, is to get the one company that's really going to affect in a positive way the good fight.
And if I can layer on that for a second, I would say the top 10 are all winners. It is an incredibly strong set of companies that made the top 10 this year. And every single one of them could be a winner. So it's going to be an interesting judging process in the back room.
Cecilia, let me give you the last word here. For folks who may be RSA Conference first-timers and they're trying to map out how they're going to spend their time, what can they expect from this particular event?
This is one, and we always say this, and Nilu kind of mentioned it. I can promise you that Hugh Thompson, who is our program chair and who actually also MCs the Innovation Sandbox contest, this is one of the favorites for RSA Conference. It is a really fun experience. It's about an hour and a half of very intense pitching. And there's a buzzer at the end. So each of the top 10 get 3 minutes to pitch in front of these five judges that are incredibly important and a group of like 800 of their peers behind them and others that are sitting in other areas watching. So it's very, very time. There's a pressure on it. There's a buzzer at the end if you don't make it in 3 minutes. And so it's a fun way to hear about the new innovation coming out in the overall industry. And then what I would say is the judges are there to kind of really help contextualize and also just dig in a little bit deeper so that people can understand what they can't cover in 3 minutes. It's such a short window to give these guys to stand up there on the stage. So and it's fun. It's just, in the end, it's just fun.
Yeah, it absolutely is. I concur. It is, like as I said at the outset, it is a highlight of the event. There's a real palpable energy in the room there. And it's fun. It's also educational and kind of a window of what's yet to come. Cecilia Marinier is Director of Innovation and Programs with RSA Conference. And Neelu Razi Howe is Operating Partner with Capital Meridian Partners and a judge of this year's Innovation Sandbox. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us. Our thanks to Cecilia Marinier from RSA Conference and Neelu Razi Howe from Energy Impact Partners for joining us. If you are headed to RSAC this year, be sure to check out the Innovation Sandbox. It's worth your time. And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. And finally, in an unexpected turn of events within the darker corners of the internet, individuals seeking child exploitation material are finding themselves the targets of a malware campaign that exploits their illicit activities for ransom. Traditionally, sextortion malware posed as government warnings to extort money from users under the guise of illegal CSAM possession. However, a recent discovery by cybersecurity researchers reveals a more targeted approach. A malware known as CryptVPN has emerged, specifically preying on those attempting to access such material through a decoy website masquerading as Usenet Club, a platform purportedly offering uncensored content for a fee. Intrigued by the promise of free access via a downloadable VPN software, victims find themselves in a trap. Upon installation, the malware changes the desktop wallpaper to an extortion message and drops a ransom note demanding $500 in Bitcoin within 10 days, under the threat of exposing the victim's activities. The perpetrator behind CryptVPN cleverly named the software Pedo Ransom, signaling a clear intent to target individuals seeking CSAM. Despite the sophisticated setup, the Bitcoin wallet linked to the campaign has seen minimal financial success, suggesting a potential decline in the efficacy of sextortion as a lucrative method for cybercriminals. This shift in tactics reflects a disturbing but intriguing change in the landscape of online exploitation and cybercrime, where even those engaged in unlawful behavior are not immune to becoming victims themselves. If there was an award for most unlikely to elicit sympathy, targets of this malware targeting child exploiters would win, hands down. And that's the CyberWire. For links to all of today's stories, check out our daily briefing at thecyberwire.com. We'd love to know what you think of this podcast. You can email us at cyberwire@n2k.com. N2K Strategic Workforce Intelligence optimizes the value of your biggest investment, your people. We make you smarter about your team while making your team smarter. Learn more at n2k.com. This episode was produced by Liz Stokes. Our mixer is Trey Hester, with original music by Elliot Peltzman. Our executive producers are Jennifer Iben and Brandon Karp. Our executive editor is Peter Kilpie, and I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. We'll see you back here tomorrow.